League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, big town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian Behind the Glass, Thursday edition, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. You can catch us everywhere. You can catch us on our new, fantastic app. It's very, very good. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN 97.5. We're on TikTok at ESPN 97.5. They don't want us to mention the twitch.tv/ESPN975, so I won't mention twitch.tv/ESPN975.
Who's a fat guy in his underwear living in his mother's basement.
Allegedly. Brian woke up and chose violence today.
That's every day.
You wake
or
up
most
feeling,
days. Most
you wake
days.
Up feeling dangerous.
Brian woke up today.
Well, not Russell Wilson,
by the way.
Created a car wreck. What do you mean?
I was on my way driving in the car, and I got a text from BMAC, and I thought, oh, he's either running it by us that he's going to get a guest or something like that. No, he was extremely frustrated because something happened with one of his gaming apps that he wasn't able to get on when he wanted to get on. And he's like, what do I do now? And he was explaining his frustration. And I was like, well, I would press reset. And if that didn't work, I'd just throw the whole game out.
He texted you?
Yeah.
I thought I was texting. I was dealing with a 4-year-old and I thought I was texting Joe, who also plays the same game.
Yeah,
but
like, that doesn't make sense to text Blankers.
No, I didn't. It wasn't intentional, obviously. I meant to text Joe, but it went to Joel instead.
Uncle Barney texted me today, which, I mean, that reminded me. He texted me at 8:13 this morning, and he said, are you going to be home at 10? I was like, that's weird, Uncle Barney. I don't think you've ever been to my house. Like, what? I was like, I don't think I'll be there at 10, perhaps 10:30. And he goes, oh, whoops, meant that for the daughter. So instead, I don't know how he made that mix up. I mean, Joe versus Joel is easy to do.
Right.
You just add an L and you get you.
Yeah, when you look up in your contacts, they're probably pretty close.
Yeah, I don't know how he texted Uncle Barney text. Maybe we should put Uncle Barney on Bad Take Boulevard for texting me as opposed to his daughter.
Oh, Brian deserves to be on it for what he – because then Josh Brian's Beard started chiming in.
I'm already on the list.
Yeah, so Josh Beard was in there too. I was like, was it
in
Joe, Josh
chat?
Beard?
Yeah, it was intended to be a group chat with Josh and Joe, who both play the game, but instead it was Josh and Joel. Yeah.
Man, so what did you learn in that group chat today, Blankers?
I just gave advice. I said I'd try to unplug it, reset it.
Did you really?
And I said, I just answered right away to catch him off guard. I'd hit the reset button. If that didn't work, I'd burn it and throw it out.
Blow in the game?
Yep.
Like back in the old Nintendo, whenever you would blow in the what would you call that? The opening, I guess?
It was a cartridge, and you'd blow in the slot.
Trying to give advice to a bunch of gamers.
And then Beard backed me up because I think what Joel said is exactly what you should do. I was like, all right, cool.
That's hilarious. You know what's not hilarious?
What's that?
Jake Myers.
No.
Jake Myers played in a game yesterday and never played in a game yesterday. Jake Myers played in a game yesterday. It was not on the field for a pitch. He wasn't in there at all. He was lifted before the first pitch of the game, which the Astros went on to lose. We'll talk about that. Got swept by the Guards, who entered with the double-digit game losing streak. But another case here, Blankers, in which the Astros medical staff comes off looking very incompetent.
They got to go. It's that simple. And it's already been – look, I saw a lot of people on Twitter. If this is worse, if the injury now is worse than it was when he first got it a couple days ago, no, screw all of that. We're done with the ifs, buts, candies, nuts, if this, then that. We talked about this last week. We've talked about this how many times over the last 12 to 15 players that have had to endure this joke show of whatever the medical staff is. And at a certain point, you can't even save face anymore. You've got to do something to kind of change the narrative for your entire organization. And you got to cut bait. You got to start over. And I don't know that you can even wait till the end of the year because you already were the laughingstock of the city. But you're the laughing stock of all the professional sports because everybody every time is going, what the hell's going on? Like, I don't know. You know, you read these articles and you hear some of these other teams, well, they're sponsors, doctors. No. You can have your own doctors. You can have whoever you want. But whoever's diagnosing all of this, when I'm sitting there and I'm watching all this unfold, which was an unbelievable scene before we even started the game, as you mentioned, and then starting to read, you know, some of the articles written after, and then listening to the interviews after the game, and then going back, Espada saying, well, we didn't do imaging right away because we didn't think he needed it. What in the world are we doing that when a guy has any kind of a leg injury, we're not doing an MRI. We're not doing every kind of imaging that we need to do to make sure that this isn't something significant. It's not even a joke anymore. It's like you've got to react. You've got to do something. You can't keep sweeping it under the rug.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything, but I guess for the sake of the conversation, like, okay. do we know that he needed an MRI? Like, so, he did say that they had an ultrasound.
Okay. He's not having a baby. He's having a calf injury.
You can see other things.
I understand that. I know that. I'm just saying. I mean, but it wouldn't surprise me that they might have thought he was having a baby or something else. Because you in my experiences, the head coach is speaking because he has been updated by the medical staff. He's not going to go out there and speak unless spoken to prior to that because he's not a doctor. And if you're continuing to misdiagnose, when we're in double digits, when we lose count of how many different episodes we've had to deal with this kind of just absolute, I don't know if you call it malpractice, whatever, it's ridiculously bad in handling of injuries, something has to change. There's commitment. The player can tell you one thing. Of course, the player wants to be out there. But the big picture is, and we've talked about this with Pena, good on the fact that at least Espada said yesterday, Pena won't even be participating in the All-Star game, and hopefully that gives them enough time to get back to where you're not rushing him back. We've seen too many stories, too, where it seems like they've tried to rush the player back too soon. That's also set them back. We saw that with Yordan. And now we're looking at it again going, I don't know why with the lineup that you've had that's been successful through the road trip, that regardless of what happened at the last game of the Cleveland series, that you got one more series of three games before you get to the break. Why in the hell was there even a consideration to put Jake back out there last night?
Yeah. No, I mean, I tweeted that immediately after the injuries. Like, there was no reason he should have been out there tonight. And like, people were like, well, it's hindsight. No, it wasn't. I said yesterday on the show, and you backed me up too, that there's no reason he should have been in the lineup yesterday.
That's right.
You have a day off today. Even if you rest him for the Rangers series, you have the entire All-Star break next week. You could have given him like an 11, 12-day rest and only missed six games. So it made a lot of sense to just rest. It made a lot of sense to just put him on the IL. And I always err on the side of I wanted to place Isak Paredes with a hamstring on the IL the moment that he pulled the hamstring. And that, look, I would have lost like four or five games with Isak Paredes there. I'm willing to lose four or five games with some of my players if it means that I don't have a re-aggravated injury that's going to cost me 2 to 3 weeks down the road. I think erring on the side of caution is how you need to err in a 162-game season. In early July with a 6.5-game lead. I don't like that the Astros, it gives me the feeling that they try to hurry players back.
No question.
And Dana Brown is on record saying that we probably rushed J.P. France back. Luis Garcia last year made two rehab assignments, and then they had to shut him down, and he just earlier this week made another rehab assignment. He's going to be gone for 2 years before he comes back from Tommy John. That is not regular. Lance McCullers injury saga, not regular. Spencer Arrighetti, we were told 4 to 6 weeks, which broken bones are 4 to 6 weeks. He just returned to pitching earlier this week, 3 months after the injury. So every single player seems to miss what are the normal target dates you would expect for that injury. And it happens time after time after time after time. If the Astros didn't have this history of incompetence, like the Jake Meyers incident yesterday could have been like, oh, what a weird freak occurrence. Okay, yeah, one time every blue moon I can give you a weird fluke occurrence. But when weird fluke occurrences happen a dozen times in 3 years, something is majorly wrong. You go back to Kyle Tucker. They didn't want to put Kyle Tucker on the injured list because they were scared scared that he could be back in a week and he would miss three games extra if they placed him on the 10-day IL. He was limping out of the dugout to celebrate a walk-off. We found out later, because of the timeline, that he was running on a treadmill with a broken bone in his leg. Yordan Alvarez, who is your best offensive player, they didn't uncover the broken bone in his fourth metacarpal, and your best offensive player is swinging with a broken bone right. in his hands.
With an admitted hand. Only 60% healed bone that they didn't realize till after it hurt when he started swinging.
So Yordan swinging a bat with a broken bone is incompetence. Kyle Tucker running on a treadmill with a broken bone is incompetence. On a lesser scale, Jeremy Pena the other day, like they didn't want to put him on the IL right away, and he was like doing weighted medicine ball drills with what we found out later was a broken bone in his rib. He took swings in the cages that day and then reported he's like, I don't feel great. And they found out later he had a broken bone in his rib. So there's all the pitchers. There's Kyle Tucker. There's Yordan Alvarez. There's Jeremy Pena. There's Jake Myers, who probably shouldn't have been playing yesterday. It is player after player after player after player. It's embarrassing. I don't know how Jim Crane is not embarrassed and lets this continue to happen on his watch. It is mind-blowing.
That's what I said. It's got to stop, and you got to do it now because it's already gone on too long. But you can go even further than that. When we didn't even know what they didn't know, what Zach DeCenzo was going through and what that was, and then we were hearing that, well, they might do more imaging this time because of what they learned from Yordan. What we learned is Zach DeCenzo, we don't know when he's going to be available again. He's still not swinging a bat. From a Taylor Trammell standpoint, he tweaked the calf in spring training. 4 months later, he was getting ready to come back. I mean, we hear calf muscles 6 weeks. That's, I understand with pitchers and with the Arrigetti situation that it's one thing to say the thumb is healthy and then you've got to go start from scratch to get stretched out.
But he wasn't even starting to get stretched out until like 12 weeks
exactly.
after the fact. So even that one's mysterious.
But so you can just go case by case and go, I'd like to give you the benefit of the doubt, but there's 12 to 14 other medical incidents where the same kind of missteps are continuing to happen. The players aren't coming back on time. And if you're the owner, even if you're from a business perspective, my return on investment is I'm paying these guys millions of dollars. These are the guys that are actually going to make me the most money because these are the guys that win games and do the things that entice the fans. If they're not on the field, they're not doing anything to help you do those things either. You've got to be frustrated. You've got to be embarrassed. You've got to have other owners calling you up going, what's going on with your medical staff? Like, players, like I said last week, there's not a player that should feel confident in any kind of medical attention they're getting from the Houston Astros when they're on the team. And they should not believe the diagnosis that they get initially because it's probably not going to be true.
Maybe this is far too speculative because we lack information, but obviously heads got to roll somewhere. And I think it probably should extend upon the medical staff because it feels like, and not saying this head needs to roll, but we've heard these comments from Dana Brown with all these injury situations talking about how we think Yordan can return for the Dodger series, talking it for multiple players how, well, it's just, you know, how much pain can he tolerate? There does seem to be, I think it was Jeremy that kind of speculated about this earlier, but there does seem to be a culture of trying to rush players back, whether it's just Dana Brown or whether it extends beyond that. But if you have Dana Brown trying to put out false timelines for guys to return, rush them through, and then a medical staff that is backing that up, that could lead to something like we're seeing.
You mentioned the J.P. France thing, and Chandler wrote about it as well. Remember when we had the conversation of the fact that they were basically using the media as a pawn to basically say to Yordan, it looks like you're medically clear. It's just basically when you're ready, you know, what
the
you
pain
can take.
Tolerance
yeah,
thing.
How
yeah.
much pain you can tolerate before you can get back out there. Almost as like, you know, a kick in the butt to go, hey, stop slow rolling this thing. Get back out there. You can't do that, especially when you're talking about your best player. But honestly, with any of your players, because they miss, as Jeremy just said, we've constantly beaten the drum on. They miss every deadline. Every 6 weeks turns into 2 months. Every Kyle Tucker turns into 3 months. Every Yordan turns into which hand and then how much, and then it's broken and it's 60%, and then we don't know. Imaging. Like, you have access to all the imaging in the world, and you're not doing imaging. It makes zero sense, and at a certain point, you can't take it anymore.
Crane's taking it.
And again, the only way... I think we all agree, and Brian, you just alluded to it again, but that the only way that you can even start trying to put a Band-Aid on it and make sense of it all is to start over, to clean house, to look for the best. If you have to overpay to get them, go get them. Believe me, within sports, there are teams, there are people that can say they're the best. They're great. The same way you get general managers and then teams go and get their first and top assistant because they're all in the same. They understand the new system of the way of doing things. The medical training staffs are all like that. And from a doctor's perspective, I hate to say this, but the doctor, the arm doctor for the Yankees, he's the number one Tommy John surgeon now in the country. I don't care if he's associated with the Yankees. Other teams, if they don't believe in theirs, they go to that guy because they want their players to get the best. That's what we should be talking about.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, YouTube, ESPN Houston, TikTok at ESPN975. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham there. We're on Twitter at ESPN975, Blankers at Pac-Man, Joel Bryan at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. What is the one thing that you point to as the reason why? The one thing that you would point to as to why the Astros medical staff have all these issues. 713-780-3776, Killer Bees, ESPN975, ESPN925.
ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. I was listening to, I went back and listened to the interview that Dana Brown had with Salisbury on the flagship. I did it yesterday. I think I did it yesterday after work on the way home, actually. It was after the show yesterday. I went back and listened to it on the way home. And Dana was talking about how once Yordan feels good, he's going to start hitting, and we hope to expedite the process. Mm. And he used the word expedite. I'm like, what? Why would you use that word? Like, that feels like the worst thing to do. It feels like, hey, Yordan, go swing a bat for a little bit and then go, like, rest for a day. The expediting, I don't think, is the best way to ease the big fella back into the lineup. And then it kind of goes to what Brian was saying, and then we, you know, talking about it yesterday with Myers in the lineup. Same thing with Pena. You know, even they got away with the Isak thing, and like maybe they were right and I was wrong there, and they didn't need to place Isak on the IL. I was scared of the, you know, re-aggravation or something like that. But going back to Tucker, not placing him on the IL immediately, waiting a bit. I don't remember how they handled Yordan. I don't know if they put him on the IL. I think he was scratched and then IL'd next day. Actually, I think that one was pretty quick. I don't think they waited around for him. I think it was one of those, we know he's playing on it, let's scratch him from the lineup, placed on the IL the next day. Luis Garcia, was he pitching quicker than he should have? I don't know. JP France, they admitted that they rushed him back. It feels to me that their strategy, whether it's organizational, whether it's just the medical staff, I don't know who's all involved. That's why I can't call for like somebody specific, their head. I don't know who's in charge, quite frankly. I don't know who the fall person is. Would I like to see the fall person get, you know, fall? Sure. I just don't know who it is. So I can't say it specifically. But it seems like the organizational medical staff plan is we need to get the guys on the field at all cost. And I feel like that's flawed logic. I feel like that's the wrong way to handle things because, one, it's a 162-game season. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Secondly, you're in a pretty good spot with the standings, 6.5 games up. There's no need to rush them. Also, at the All-Star break next week, like, what is the hurry here? The goal is to win the World Series, to get them as fresh as possible, as healthy as possible once you approach the playoffs. So the expediting, the rush to play, it makes no sense to me.
Well, and here's the thing, too. It's almost like the medical staff, because we don't know what we don't know. Is it the people that are actually doing the surgeries and the procedures? Is it the people afterwards that are supposed to pick up where the surgeon left off and follow protocol to get the player back and do the things necessary? Is it a combination? We don't know. But in these situations, because of what you just alluded to, because you're in first place by 6.5 games, because you're in a very comfortable position and you're heading towards a break in the schedule, there is no way, shape, or form that you should be timing these players with a stopwatch instead of a calendar. You should be looking at it and going, I can get this many more days if I just don't play them until the All-Star break. And then I should be in a really good spot to get, you know, to make a clear analysis of we might be able to get them back then sooner once you get back from All-Star break, rather than what you've done, which is If this was the end of the season heading towards the playoffs and your players are like that, now I understand there's a sense of urgency because you're trying to play when it matters most, when it can be do or die, when you have to have your best players on the field. You don't need that right now. But yet it seems with every one of these injuries, their immediacy involving in everything that they do is get them back, got to get them back, got to get them back as quick as possible, got to get them back on that field without kind of taking a step back or a half step back to look at the big picture and say, no, we don't.
Yeah. Israel, Dana is the boss. He doesn't care what y'all think, say, feel. Okay, he shouldn't. Like, he shouldn't care what we think, say, feel. That doesn't mean that the Astros medical staff is handling things properly. And I don't know how you can look at the Astros history in the last 2 years and be like, yeah, I'm going to co-sign whatever the Astros are doing. I think that's ignorant. 713-780-3776. They have to be either totally incompetent or controlled by the Astros upper management and do what they say instead of what they uncover. Glass half full instead of half empty thing.
Here's the thing. Even if it is you want to push it on management and you don't want to push it all the way up the top with Crane, because Crane should be embarrassed. But Dana, this is on his watch too, and I said this last week. This is on both of their watches as well. But when you're the general manager of the team, that the medical staff and the way that medical injuries are taken care of, handled, and the results coming from them are clearly under your tutelage, under your management department, you are responsible. If you are responsible, you have to look at all of these missteps and you have to be embarrassed as well. And you have to realize whether it's this job, another job, eventually the finger's going to point at you because you're responsible for that.
Jordan is hurt every year, says a texter. When is enough enough? When do you look to trade him before he's not worth anything? I mean, I'm not trading Jordan.
And he's got to have value.
Yeah, and if I was forced to trade Jordan within the next like two and a half, 3 years, it's, well, I'm not trading him while he's in La Playa. I'm going to wait till he's actually producing and trade him at that point. So
he's chilling right now. He's in La Playa right now.
Thank you, Doobie. How long will this medical staff be talked about before changes are actually made? Forever. I mean, they're going to live in infamy, this Astros training staff. I don't think this will ever go away.
No, and this is one of those deals where, what, because the next guy that get injured, they might get it right? And that should, like, completely erase everything that we've just had to endure with the 10 to 15 players that we're talking about or the 10 to 15 different injuries? No. Too much damage has been done. You got too much egg on your face. And you're not some rinky-dink minor league team that doesn't want to spend money on getting imaging and doing the things that is necessary to rehab a player. You have access to every resource in the world to get these guys back and to handle things properly. And you're not doing it.
So why not clean house and hire a new medical staff? How hard is that? That's the million-dollar question, quite
I think
frankly.
The biggest problem now is you can't do it in the middle of the season because a lot of the guys you're probably trying to get are working for other teams right now.
I don't think you can clean house in the middle of the season. Completely agree. I think you can make like a what's the word I'm looking for?
An interim change?
No, not even that. More like a symbolic firing.
A scapegoat,
yeah. I think you could do that. Like, it's not really going to matter. But they clearly don't care, which is their prerogative, and that's fine. But, they could do something that would at least give a little bit of the grief
lamb
off their back. Yeah, scapegoat. Like,
yeah,
just them, like an offensive coordinator's fired towards the end of the year, you know? Like, yeah, they could do that. Like, hey, I'm not going to mention names because I don't know if they're in charge. But, hey, this team physician, he's fired. Okay, and then, like, people see that, and they're like, oh, okay, well, they're doing something. And then you actually poach, because that's what I would like to happen. Like, what would you like the Astros to do in the offseason with their training staff? I want them to go poach somebody that's really good. Mm-hmm. And how they determine they're really good, that's up for them to figure out. Hire a hiring firm. Like, this training staff's among the best in baseball, and go steal them from that organization. Hire the assistant and make him the full-time guy here. That's what I hope happens in the offseason. I hope that last year, too, is that Crane, Dana, whoever, Jeff Bagwell, if Reggie Jackson needs to be the straw that stirs the drink out from California, whoever it takes. I want them to do a study, hire a hiring firm, whatever the case may be, and go poach somebody from Major League Baseball or hire the guy's right-hand man. If the best medical staff's in New York and they're not leaving New York because they're making too much money, hire his number two. I want them to poach from the best.
This is what I was just going to say. You just alluded to it at the end there. Before you even go to hire somebody else, figure out and do a deep dive and do a complete peeling of the Band-Aid off to figure out where everything went wrong, where the breakdowns occurred, why these things were going on. You have got to break it all down and figure it all out so that the next person coming in then has autonomy to do the right things the right way and make sure that those things never happen again.
Yep.
The crazy thing, though, about that, what you guys just said, is remember James Click kind of said that similar thing a couple months before he got the axe, that they were going to have a complete reevaluation and look at their return to play process and evaluations. Then he gets let go, and seemingly nothing happened.
I do remember that, and I read that quote again last night somewhere, and it was like it just all came gushing back going, you know what? He probably knew what they weren't willing to admit at the time. And I'm sure that, like, the same way Crane has golfing buddies or whatever, you build relationships. Guys have been there a long time. So your knee-jerk reaction, you don't want to be to tell someone they're no longer going to be affiliated with the team. But you just have too much evidence and too many cases that have built up to where you just can't protect them anymore, no matter who it is.
Texture all easier said than done. I don't think it's difficult to do. Go to find
hire
out.
New staff?
Yeah,
like that's hard.
Hey, this staff, you're gone. You're fired. I mean, Crane has history with this. He did it with Click, and then you go hire somebody that you think is going to do a good job. It's pretty simple, especially for a guy like Crane, who is the head of Crane Logistics, who has been doing this for his entire professional career. I don't think it's easier said than done. I think it's easier done than done than said than done. I don't even know
running
what you're
a
saying.
Business.
It's not hard. It's not hard to do that. Does it require some logistics? Well, good thing Crane's in the logistic business. He can figure it out. Figure out who's the best, poach from the best, and let's move on.
It's the same thing like when Daryl Morey was here. Daryl Morey knew it was on his watch, but he also knew that the most important thing is the product of basketball. So your players are your most important pieces that you have to take care of. If he heard of technology when they were one of the first teams to get the treadmill with the water so that you don't have any weight put on your feet, but you get the cardio back, to have the underwater tanks where they could examine the injuries, to have all these different pressing, the first to do the cryogenic chambers for the rehab process after games to recover. He was on top of everything because he's like, I don't want another team to have an advantage that I don't have. I want to have my players back as soon as I can, but I want them feeling the best they can possibly feel. It can't be that you're trying to do anything to cut corners, save people's butts, and do things, especially because of the fact that you've warned so many of these over the last several years.
713-780-ESPN. Pete and Chris, we'll get to you on the other side. 713-780-3776. Another in the long lineage of Astro injury incompetence. Is enough enough? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannan.
Myers, 713-780-3776. We should do a guess. That's what we should do with our blank space back here. Do a guess the date on when Jake Myers returns.
We should do like a split. We should have our
both
top 15 most memorable injury moments that were misdiagnosed. Have our latest injury on the board. We have several.
Right? I think because I have a whiteboard.
We got Yordan. We've got Jake.
Humble
we've got Pena. We've got DeCenzo. We've got five that we could say guess the date on because they're current. Their status is still unknown as opposed to all the ones that were misdiagnosed. It
sounds like a busy whiteboard.
Yeah.
Sounds like a busy whiteboard. We can make it simple. Like
dibs on you writing.
Like on the job sites that'll have like this many days since like an accident or an injury.
Well, let's find, just have that. Let's find an Astros calendar. And then we'll do a guess the date on when Myers returns, Pena returns, Arrigetti returns, Javier returns, Garcia returns, Jordan returns, JP France returns, every guy. And we can do it color-coded, and whoever guessed the date gets a high five or a T-shirt. Or like Jason Alexander, everybody's favorite golf pro, a finger five. 713-780-3777. Yeah. A lot of Jason Alexanders in this city. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line. Pete, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Pete?
How's it going?
Not great.
Short and sweet until Astros management can get rid of this incompetent medical group. Here's a soundbite opportunity for you guys to record because it's going to happen in the future. Astros medical staff misleading medicine. I'm out.
Right, you've already used that line.
Used it before.
You can't repeat. You can't set it up like you're going to have this moment of brilliance and recycle an old joke. Come on, Pete. You're better than that.
At least once, maybe even twice, he sent that in. I think he's called and said that and texted it.
He sent it in like it was this moment of brilliance. Like, Brian, grab this. You're about to be so satisfied with the audio that I'm about to provide. Yeah. And he recycles an old joke, Pete. It was great the first time. It was still pretty good the fourth or fifth time, but it's not this, you know, radio gold that you set it up to be. I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah,
I'm
the recycling, Pete. You're better than that, man. Come on.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. Chris, you're in the high. What's up, Chris?
Yo, what's going on, guys? Good afternoon. Great show. Hey, Brian nailed it when he said culture, and it's not Dana Brown setting the culture in the building. It's definitely Jim Crane. I mean, these doctors are doing exactly what they're paid to do, rush the guys to the field. I think Jim Crane hires doctors that listen to Jim Crane and maybe, you know, look at these players as assets that need to be on the field or they're not making them any money. So that's just my little theory. I mean, at some point, don't you guys think that these players' agents are going to get involved and try to protect their assets? You know, Jake's going to be coming up for a contract in a couple of years or so. They don't want him hurt all the time. I mean, I think what happened last night, guys, Jake was pressured to play. And he goes out on the field and says, you know what? Y'all want me to play? Well, watch this. And he starts limping. I think it's his way of saying, I'm hurt. I can't play. I'm going to do this in front of the fans. And he walked off the field. So that's what I think is going on. I mean, Jim Crane is putting all this pressure on his players to play. This isn't the first time we've had this conversation. So, I mean, today in the news, we heard about a doctor not wanting to tell the truth under oath about our last president and his medical situation. So doctors aren't always honest. I'm out.
Appreciate it, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
You ever listen to the podcast Dr. Death?
No. I haven't yet, no.
They ended up making a TV show.
Yeah, it was with the dude from Dawson's Creek, right?
I didn't watch it. No, that was The Cruise, wasn't it?
Dr. Death was
Kevorkian? Or was he in both?
I think he was in both.
I think the guy you're referring to was also Dr. Death,
Jack
perhaps.
Kevorkian was
but this
one of the
is like
ones.
A new Dr. Death who like lied and cheated his way through the medical school and like got licensed.
Yeah.
He was performing surgery on people and he had no idea what he was doing and like was I think he killed a couple of people.
I think
like,
that was a show on Peacock.
It was, but originally it was a podcast. And I listened to the podcast, didn't watch the show. And like people would have like stuff in their bodies and stuff. Like it was awful. It was awful stuff.
Terrible.
And it just made me think of that.
He's like, dropping Skittles in people's body?
Yeah,
what's going on?
I mean, like a junior mint was in the
yeah, surgery and scalpel.
But no, it was bad. It was bad stuff. Now it just made me think of that. Do you think that Crane is demanding players to be on the field?
No. I don't think that you have, understandably, he's been meddling in terms of going to get players and free agency and trades.
Yeah.
I don't think he's meddling because I think as much as he is a confident man with an ego that is a baseball guy, as he is self-proclaimed, I don't think that he's a medical expert. I don't think that he would go in and start. Now, I understand that owners are going to come down and say, when is he going to be back? This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's telling to that degree.
No, I don't think Crane's an idiot either. Like that would require someone to be very, very dumb. Like Cal McNair maybe would do this.
Oh, come on. I mean, Hannah would stop him.
Yeah, Hannah would stop him. Cal would have the idea. Hannah would put him, you know, in his place.
Let's do it. Okay.
Jim Crane is not an idiot. Like Jim Crane is a pretty smart dude. Really smart dude.
Really smart business guy.
So I don't think that Crane is demanding his medical staff saying, get my guys on the field and make me some money. I think Crane also is big picture minded enough to know that the real money probably comes in the postseason and would love to have his best players in the postseason. When is Crane making his most money? When the Astros are winning the World Series and having these deep playoff runs. So I don't think he's calling down to the medical staff and demanding his players to get on the field on July 9th. Now, I do think that whoever's making the decisions, medical staff, I don't know. But I do believe it is the organizational philosophy to try to get players back as quickly as possible. By design or not, they're erring on the side of recklessness. They're erring on the side of getting a player back sooner rather than later. Dusty always had the thing where if they tell me he's 100%, yes, I give him the extra day. So I do think it is an organizational philosophy. Not sure who's putting it in place. Not sure if it's the head trainer. Not sure if it's, you know, assistant general manager. Not sure who it is. I do think the organizational philosophy errs on the side of a player quickly returning as opposed to a player taking his time, making sure you get him 100% back, and maybe it costs you 5 games for every player when they return back from injury. It feels like they're reluctant to do that and want them on the field as the moment that they can possibly play.
You have to realize, like, the formula. You're not trying to get them back as soon as possible so that the percentage of them getting hurt goes way up. So you save a couple games here and there, and you're in a position of strength. It's not like a year ago when you were chasing and you were scratching and clawing, trying to get back in it so that you could at least get a playoff spot, whether it was winning the division or just getting in the wild card. You're sitting atop your division. You got a really big, comfortable lead. So in particular, in this season, encapsulated with the players we're talking about, there is absolutely no reason to put the pedal down and do what you just said.
And I think it's very clear in this case that they hurried him back. Like, Jake Myers talked after the game yesterday, which I do think is a good sign long term. I think him talking after the game is a sign that perhaps it was a re-aggravation and not something more. But he talked about, like, he went through sprints, he went through agility tests, he was asked by the training staff if he was good to go, and Myers said yes. Chandler Rome in his article today said that he also did this on Tuesday and wasn't ready yet. So yesterday was the very first day that he was clear to be in the lineup, and he was cleared about 3 hours, 4 hours before the game and is expected to play in that game. I think that is too fast. 713-780-ESPN.
And real quick, here's the other thing, though. It's just like you said, we can't just go by the player just on the fact that if it feels good, then do it. It's like, okay, he says it's feeling better, and now he's not feeling that pain. Let's reimage it one more time to see exactly what we're dealing with, because sometimes there's that kind of false confidence of, no, it feels great. The adrenaline's pumping. I want to get back out there. I want to play. And then in a couple of steps, maybe it's a sprint, maybe it's not. In this case, it's just jogging out to the outfield. Suddenly, he gets the hot foot reaction of, oh, boy, this doesn't feel good, and then he needs a golf cart.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to border on doing what's medically right to solidify your diagnosis that he's okay to play.
Yeah, if a player's telling me he's 100%, I'm waiting like 3 days.
No
plus,
question.
Plus, just like the average amount of time, you can literally Google how long is a calf strain. Like, you can literally, I'm not saying that the Astros aren't and they're oblivious to this, but it kind of feels like they're oblivious to this. And I don't agree with 2 points other that Chris made. The agents getting involved. I think the agents are more involved with these players than we'll ever know. Jordan's agent was involved with his x-rays. Yep. We read that in a Chandler Rome article. I'm sure the agent was involved in Verlander not being with the team. I've heard that Carlos Correa never stepped foot into the Astros training staff because Scott Boras didn't want the training staff to know what was ailing Carlos Correa.
Point to Scott Boras.
Yes. Like, so the agents are heavily involved. And I do think that the agents are probably going to get fed up with the Astros stuff, but I don't agree with the thing that Jake Myers was proving a point. Jake Myers told the Astros training staff a few hours before the game that he wanted to play. And then if you listen to him after the game, it was clear that he wanted to play. We'll listen to Jake Myers on the other side, what he had to say after the game. Willie, we'll get to you on the other side as well. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We'll hear from Jake Myers in a moment after the game yesterday. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line first, though. Willie, you're in the Hive. What's up, Willie?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up,
yeah, when Jake got hurt the other night, he told them that there was something wrong with his calves. Now, when he got ready to go play again yesterday, he told him he was all right.
Yeah.
And he went out there and practiced before the game, and he felt all right. And then when he in between time after he rested, it must have tightened up on him or something. So I don't see how that's a trainer's fault. And then with Yordan a couple of weeks ago, he did baseball activities for 2.5 weeks. Then he go down to Florida, and he worked out one day, then the next day he got information in his hand. I don't see how that's a train of thought. But if I am, Dana, I wouldn't say anything about somebody being hurt or injured. I wouldn't even say what's wrong with them or when they coming back. I wouldn't give him any update. He just keep on. He talk too much. Thank you.
I think that's the best point you made, Willie. I think we all agree that you're spot on right there with that.
No, Dana, he's right. I do think that Dana, a lot of time, loose lips stink ships. And I think that Dana is coming from a good place doing it. I think he's trying to be insightful to the fans. He wants to give the fans a little peek behind the curtain. I don't think it's in the best interest of, like, the entire philosophy of it. Go back to what he said with Salisbury yesterday. We're trying to expedite Jordan. The moment that he tells us that it feels good. Espada was talking about it with Myers the other day. He's like, well, we don't think that there's anything serious here. He was asked yesterday after the game about, you know, did you get imaging? He's like, no, we didn't get imaging because we didn't feel it was necessary. We got an ultrasound, texture. They never did an MRI on his calf. That's incompetence. It also comes like 2 months on the heels of Jordan Alvarez's injury after not finding a broken bone, in which they said they're going to do more imaging. Pena, you didn't see his broken bone initially as well. So, Myers saying that he's good enough to play yesterday and then being in the lineup, not at the fault of the trainers, to Willie's point. I could see that if this was a once every now and then thing where I can't blame the training staff. I would say, look, Willie just came to the determination that Myers told the training staff he was healthy, went out and exercised, did sprints, and then his leg tightened up, and that's why he couldn't play. Willie just came to that determination. Why are medical experts and athletic trainers not having that in mind before they let Jake Myers in the lineup? So, like, Willie, if you can come to the conclusion that it's possible for Myers' leg to tighten up because he's trying to recover from a calf strain and then went to strenuous exercises to see if he had the check mark to play, if you can figure that out, why didn't the athletic training staff figure that out? The other thing about the baseball activities with Jordan, baseball activities is not the same as swinging a bat. Baseball activities like running bases, catching a pop fly, all of those things. Not necessarily swinging a bat. I think that Jordan's probably swinging a little bit too much. I think that's what flared up the hand. I think that's why his hand got bothered again, is that they feel like they have to expedite his return as opposed to like, hey, let's kind of ease you back into things. And I would counterpoint, Willie, that both of those things are the blame of an athletic training staff.
Well, here's the thing. As it relates to the Jordan thing, too, when you're talking about it, you didn't do imaging, and you admitted it, and you didn't do enough imaging, and you had to own that after the fact because of the fact that while he was doing these other things, as you mentioned, ramping it up to get his, you know, endurance back and do the playing catch and doing those things, hitting off a tee, and then when you got to the point where, again, imaging you should be doing every so often just to make sure that you haven't experienced a setback. Because sometimes the player is going to feel something and he's going to feel some sort of way and he ain't going to tell you because all he wants to do is get back on the field. That's where you have to be the smarter, better people in this instance to step in and go, hey, listen, I know it feels better or whatever you're feeling. We got to do some more imaging. We got to make sure. And they're not doing those things. And that's why when you look at it, we know from a standpoint of from a pitcher, when you sit too long after throwing with your arm and you're 100% fine, if it's a big inning, a lot of times your arm starts to stiffen up. Sometimes you can't even put them back out there because you get tight. But when you have an injury, it's hyper important that it's not just the fact that he was able to endure the 25-minute pregame workout, but then see how it reacts 15 minutes later when you're not working it out for 25 minutes straight before you make a determination. And that's when you do side with Dusty and say, okay, great. Then maybe tomorrow, or you got a day off tomorrow, see how it feels tomorrow as well, and then we'll see if we can put you back in the lineup.
My guess is he had a sub-100% calf. We all know he had a sub-100% yes. calf. He tried to work it out because he's trying to get back in the lineup, which is fine. Like, I applaud that from a player. While he was working it out, it probably tightened up on him. And then when he jogged back out to center field, it's like, ooh, that didn't feel good. That happens all the time. Like, we understand that. Like, injuries happen, and then when you work out the injury, it flares up and it gets sore and it gets inflamed. And then when he ran out there, he's like, ooh, I feel it a little bit. That's my guess as to what happened.
But you can't just
Which is actually best case.
Right, but you can't just say, take it, because Paredes just went through this. Well, we did it with Paredes, and we did it this way, and he felt great, and we put him back out there after a couple days. no problems, so we're good. No, you have to treat this with kid gloves in every situation, and Paredes probably should have had more imaging before you put him back out there. It just worked out to your advantage. In this case, you can't take chances with that, because if the player is not telling you it feels tight, well, imaging would tell you that it's still not 100% healed, like the bone in Yordan's hand. Therefore, we're going to side on the side of caution and be precautionary before we put it back out on the field.
And what makes what you said more frustrating, Joel, is after the debacle with Yordan, I don't remember if it was Dana Brown or Joe Espada, but they said, we're going to learn from this and we're going to get more imaging. Yeah. And then Pena happened. And then Jake happened. They got lucky with Isak.
DeCenzo happened and they were like, we're going to image more.
Yes. They even told us at one point, hey, we're going to look at it. Even going past the James Click thing, they told us, I guess there would have been sometime in late to middle May, that after Yordan, they're going to look at this, they're going to do more imaging, and then it keeps happening again and again and again.
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't have an MRI. Like, why did Jake Meyers not play? Why did Jake Meyers get pulled to the game in L.A.? What did Joe Espada tell you?
His calf tightened up.
Right, but he said he did it as a precaution. Yeah. Right. So, okay. Right. Like I can respect that. Like you're, it's a game in July. Like it's really not that significant in the grand scheme of things. It's one of 162. It's one of 162 whenever you've built a comfortable lead in the AL West. And Joe Espada said that he pulled out Jake Meyers because his calf tightened up and it was precautionary. Okay. Like tip your cap. Hey, that's great. That's good managing there, Joe. But why weren't you precautionary and doing MRI? Like the act was there and it was not followed up by somebody else. Joe Espada had the right mindset. We're going to take him out the last four innings of this game on a Saturday. Like we need to make, actually Sunday, last four innings of a game on Sunday. We need to make sure he's 100%. We know that, the forest, we need to be looking to the forest, not the tree. It's early July. We have this lead. I'm going to be precautious and take him out of the game. Great decision, Joe Espada. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not being sarcastic. Sincerely mean that. Why wasn't that followed up on? Why wasn't there follow through there to be like, hey, let's just take an MRI to see for the heck of it, for S's and giggles?
Keep going, because here's the other thing. Then why don't you also take the same kind of precaution that you used when you took him out of the game to say, okay, I want to be precautionary in the fact that we don't have many games before the All-Star break. I know this guy has been on a heater. He's been a big part of the reason why we've been able to build this lead. I want to be precautionary before I put him back on the field, and I also want to make sure that I give him an extra day or two with the day off today before I put him back out there.
Yeah, Joe also didn't follow up on his precautious plan. That's a good point. Blankety blank blank on Twitch says, Jake lied. This isn't hard. That's okay. Like, fair. Like, fine. Let's say that is true. Let's play out that theory that Jake lied. It shouldn't be on the player to write his name in the lineup.
But
this is where the training staff has precursors in place and standards in place to where a player can't try to tough it out and be a gamer, force his way back in the lineup, and re-aggravate an injury. There has to be something to protect the player from the player.
This isn't rocket science. The bottom line is, how do you prevent this from happening from the stubborn player who wants to play? You do imaging so that even if the player is faking it or telling you he's great when he's not, the imaging is going to tell you the calf muscle ain't there yet. It's still strained. It's still got some issues to where it's not in our best interest to put him out there. That's how you prevent it from just being a he said from the player, I'm good. So, yeah, well, if you say you're good, get out there. No.
Poor Marine, how come these trainers and doctors aren't being interviewed? The Astros won't allow them to be interviewed. Chandler Rum talks about it all the time. Yeah. There's like something in the CBA where trainers don't have to talk. They can if they want. There's a few teams that do, but they don't have to. And the Astros have chosen that avenue where they're not going to talk. 713-780-ESP. We'll hear from Jake on the other side. Israel on the line as well. 713-780-3776. Maybe I should have teased Israel on the other side. People might turn the station. Israel may or may not be on the line. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, tools, home essentials, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online now through July 18th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.